Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now we are recording this about half an hour, 45 minutes before the Fed statement comes out, and then the press conference will follow. We're going to focus more on what the market's doing, what the market's telling us about general Fed expectations, but even more so, what's truly driving some of these moves and what's important to note for some of the changes in these markets. Starting off with interest rates that tie into real yields. Fact of the matter is, look, inflation, as in a way, it's staying very elevated, but it's not increasing. Not increasing at the same rate nearly that actual interest rates are. We look at the 10-year. The 10-year is just under 3.5%. It's been a very strong move by interest rates, which means that real yields have actually been screaming higher. This is usually quite bad for precious metals. And in all fairness, we have seen pretty much everything correct. But Jordan, your takeaway from how the precious metals have reacted in this, albeit very short-term increase, screaming higher aspect of real yields?
Well, real yields, at least Monday and Tuesday, they were up significantly. I think I'd have to double check, but I want to say around half a point. And they've been rising significantly in the last few weeks. So that's been hurting not just precious metals, but everything. But I think in the bigger picture, if we step out and look at how much real yields have been rising since they started rising, like if you look at the real five-year yield, for example, and this is from the TIPS market, up to yesterday, it was up from the low almost 2.7%. And if we look at some past marks, for example, 2016 to 2018, real yields went up about 1.7%. I think gold corrected about 19%. From 2012 to 2016, and this is the real five-year yield, it was up 2.2%. You know, gold obviously had a huge correction at that point. I want to say 40% or 35%, something like that. Now real yields are up almost 3%, as I said. I mean, they're up close to 2.7%. Well, not 3% yet, but close to 2.7%. And obviously gold has been hit the last couple of days. But gold, you know, I don't know it off the top of my head, but it's not down 20% yet. You know, that would be 1675. So gold's down, I don't know, 14%, 13%, something like that. So just looking at that factor, it's held up really, really well. Another example of that was during the COVID crash. I think gold was down only 10%. You know, real yields were up quite a bit. I think they were up over 1%. During the financial crisis, real yields screamed higher by 4%. Okay, gold did decline by 30%. But when you look at all these historical performances and compare it to now, I retweeted a chart on Twitter. You can just look at, you know, people have these great charts where they show the gold price and the real yields inverted. You can see that the gold price should be a lot lower based on this huge drop we've had in real yields. And that's just not the case. That's not happening. And if you look at the last 15 years or so, the two are very strongly correlated, you know, if you flip real yields. However, gold is actually the leading indicator. So not all the time, but when there's a discrepancy between the two, you really want to follow gold because gold tends to be right. And that's what we're seeing in the last couple months where, again, if you just look at the chart, real yields have been surging higher. And yes, gold is selling off and, you know, gold could still come down to the low 1700s and test the 40-month moving average. That's quite possible. But even with that, it is still held up fairly well. Not fairly well, but really well considering the surge in real yields. And at the same time, we know that the dollar is at a 15-year high or wherever it is. I mean, the dollar's been on fire. So you have these things going on. And yes, I know that doesn't help anybody who, you know, owns juniors or they own silver. That doesn't help right now. But in the very big picture, with a bird's eye view, gold is holding up much better than it has at any other time. And that's just another signal, you know, and it's also outperforming the S&P 500, which is very important. So these are all signals. If we're looking at the market with a bird's eye view, these are signals of gold is going to go much higher when real yields stop rising. And when are they going to stop rising? Probably when the Fed starts cutting rates, which I think they're going to do before the end of the year. Now, obviously, that's, I don't want to go off the rails here, but that's dependent on, you know, the economy and the market sensing, you know, we're in a recession and that overtakes inflation as a bigger problem. So we're not there yet, but that's how I see things setting up, you know, for the balance of the year.
Yeah, Jordan, it's interesting to see how well gold has held up considering the increase in yields, the stronger dollar, the general market weakness, so many sectors tanking. All in all, it's held up pretty well. And when you look at this Fed rate hiking cycle, we don't really know yet because the news hasn't come out what they're going to hike today, but they're definitely going to hike today and at the next meeting in July. And a lot of the market is pricing in, I think it's around a 70% odds of another hike, maybe near 50 basis points in September. But you've made the point in some recent material you put out to your subscribers that a lot of people don't realize how quickly the Fed can pivot from hiking back to cutting again. And sometimes in historical sense, it's happened quicker than people expect. Can you expand on that idea a little bit and share some of that research you've looked into?
Yeah, I looked at the last 13 Fed cycles, and six of the 13, they went from hiking to cutting in only 1 or 2 months. So that's literally, I didn't look specifically, but at the meetings, but we're talking about, and because we know that these meetings are 1 or 2 months apart, it's literally they're hiking rates at one meeting and then the next meeting they're cutting rates. And five of the six were during inflationary periods. You know, what if we look from 1966 to 1989, or we could, if we look in, from 66 to the early 80s, I think it's four of the five. But so these shifts in policy that were immediate, essentially, these 180s that were instantaneous, for the most part, they happened in that, you know, late 60s to 80s period, which was more inflationary. So it's interesting. They flipped during a period of high inflation when inflation was trending up. And it's just something we have to remember about inflation is that it's really volatile. If you study the 60s, 70s, and 40s, you can see how inflation is really volatile. It can be really high 1 year, and then a year later it can be really low. You know, and then a couple of years after that it can spike again. So you don't tend to see inflation is 8%, it's going to be 5% and 4% for the next couple of years. I mean, you don't see that. You see spikes, it comes back down. And so I think that explains why the Fed is able to do a 180 so quickly. And, you know, in 1974, they started cutting rates before inflation peaked because they must have sensed that the economy was in recession. We got to cut rates and inflation is probably going to roll over. And I think we're coming into a similar situation where energy and oil is a huge driver. And so if you get oil rolling over, which I think, you know, I would think the odds of that are good once we get to the end of the summer. Once you get oil rolling over and you're in a full-blown recession where everybody knows it, you know, demand is going to crater and the market will, you know, bond yields will start rallying. And that's when you get close to the point where the Fed is, they're going to flip and cut rates. And even here and now, the problem is these rate hikes, they're not impacting inflation yet. They're hurting the economy. You know, they're hurting the credit markets, which eventually, you know, we get into a recession and then that will bring down inflation. But that's the really painful way that it happens. So if we look at this history, we see what's going on now, the likelihood that inflation is probably going to come down significantly. I'm not saying in the next month or two, but if we're looking 6 or 9 months out, you have inflation coming down significantly, the rate of inflation and the economy in recession, they're definitely going to cut rates. And that'll be reflected in the market and bond yields. And now, right now, here and now, bond yields are still screaming higher. So we haven't got to that turning point yet. But, you know, when bond yields peak and start rolling over, you know, that's when we're going to know that the Fed cutting rates will be closer than we think. And so just based on this history and all these things I'm talking about, Tell me when the last rate hike is going to be. Because the first cut will be at the next meeting, most likely. If July is the last hike, pretty good chance they're going to cut in September. You know, if September is the last hike, good chance they're going to cut in November. So I think that's what we're looking at.
Well, we will see, because it's really interesting. The market right now, just trying to forecast how much the Fed is going to hike this meeting, next meeting, and then what's going to happen in September. The Fed's been telling us that they want to keep on hiking, but again, so much inflation dependent, and inflation has stayed elevated. So that's why we have seen such a big swing in expectations just in the last few days towards that 75 basis point hike. Let's focus a bit more on some of the charts here, because everyone has their opinion of when the Fed's going to hike. And quite frankly, the Fed, we'll see if they even give us any warning. But the charts, looking at gold, bit of a debate going on here in terms of how gold is set up, because gold longer term chart still looks very encouraging, still putting in higher lows. But you look to some of the more recent trading, gold has been in a downtrend here ever since that peak in early March. And it's also been quite range bound for almost 2 years now. Jordan, how are you viewing this gold chart?
Well, I think, I mean, you said it, the very big picture is super bullish. The cup and handle is well intact. I mean, a cup and handle can, it's really bullish when it only retraces 38%. I think the 38% retracement is 1675. So gold, for the vast majority of this correction, gold is held above that, which is great. However, zooming into the short term, I mean, 1880 to 1900 is stiff resistance. And if you look at the last couple of weeks, I think we tested 1880 a couple of times. You know, we had the hard sell-off in recent days down to the lower 1800s. So, the short term does not look great for gold technically. I think the levels that are important, you have 1750, and then you have the 40-month moving average, which comes in at the low 1700s. So whether you look at the daily or if you look at the weekly, you can see 1680 stands out. If you look at the daily, 1750 stands out. So I think those are the levels that I'm looking at. You have 1750, you know, call it 1710 with the 40-month moving average, and you know, then you have 1675, 1680. I think those are the levels, and real yields are still screaming higher. If we look at the 2-year yield, I mean, the 2-year yield yesterday, and with which the Fed follows, it hit almost 3.5%. So the Fed is way behind the curve. I mean, we joked about it months ago, but they are so far behind the curve now that that's why they have to do these 75 point hikes this meeting and the next meeting. And that, I think, will only get them to, what, 2.5%? So, look, the Fed follows the market, and, you know, we've had these huge moves in yields, and that's why the Fed has to hike 75. You know, who knows? Maybe they hike a point at the next meeting, because the 2-year yield is still, you know, around 3.5%, or maybe it's a little higher by the next meeting. I don't know. But the Fed is so far behind the curve that that's why they have to do these monster hikes. However, as I said earlier, you look at history, you look at the volatility of inflation, it doesn't take a lot for bond yields to come down. You know, that would force the Fed to go the other way. So I don't think we're there yet. And that's the issue for gold, is real interest rates are still screaming higher. The Fed probably has a couple of monster hikes left. And, you know, that's not the time where gold's going to bottom and rebound. You know, if the last hike is in July, my guess would be you'll see some kind of a bottom in gold in July, you know, or, you know, a week before that hike, or maybe a week or two after. Like, that would be my guess if that's the last hike. But again, we're not there yet. I mean, in the very short term, Fed is way behind the curve. Real yields are screaming higher. It's not gold bullish. However, I mean, 2 months from now, we could be talking about, or 3 months from now, we could be talking about completely different Fed policy. And obviously, if that's the case, gold is probably going to be higher and in a short-term bullish setup, but it's not yet.
Yeah, some interesting points there, Jordan. And I mean, I guess you could still point out that while real yields have moved higher because the 10-year is moving up dramatically, we've still seen inflation keep moving higher too. So it's there's still vastly negative real rates, and that's still underpinning some strength in the precious metals. But one of the things to look to remind ourselves is sometimes to back up and look at the bigger picture. You mentioned the cup and handle pattern. For those that aren't familiar, that the 2011, there was the high at 1921, and then we saw in March in August of 2020 that other high of 2089. Now, you had postulated, and some other technicians had as well, that there may be a mini cup and handle from August of 2020 to March of 2022, this year, where it got back up to, I think, like 2078. And I had asked you, hey, do you still think that's on? And you had said that that pattern may have been negated because the handle has fallen too much. So would you unpack that for investors that are still looking at both the big cup and handle and the little cup and handle?
Yeah, that's a really good question because there's some key differences between the two. And I was thinking after we hit that high in March, I was thinking that, yeah, we could be setting up a smaller cup and handle. But there's the problem with that is, well, first, the right side of that cup is actually lower than the left. So that's a sign of like a weak pattern or a slightly weaker pattern. And then the second thing, and this is the real issue with the pattern now is the market corrected too much. So for a cup and handle, you want the handle to at the most retrace 50%, but in most really bullish cases, it's only 38%, or in smaller patterns, it can be even less than that. So a 38%, or we'll just look at a 50% retracement if I'm looking at this smaller cup and handle, the 50% retracement was around 1885. So that makes sense. Remember a couple months ago, we were talking about 1900, 1880. If the smaller cup and handle was intact, the market would have held above 1880 and 1900, which it did not. So that the smaller cup and handle pattern is busted. It's no more. However, we can still mention the 2500 target because whatever happens with gold, if, in the next 6, 9 months or 3 months, whatever it is, if gold rallies and trades back to 2050, 2070, it corrects a little bit more and it breaks out, it will have a measured upside target of 2500, based on the highs and lows. However, the cup and handle will be kind of busted. There's a similar situation in silver too, where silver has it's a little different, but the major pattern in silver has just corrected way too much to be a cup and handle. Although when it breaks out, it's technically not a cup and handle anymore, but it'll be super bullish because it's breaking above resistance. So the smaller cup and handle pattern is busted, but nevertheless, if gold rallies back up and breaks out, the 2500 target is still legitimate. The bigger cup and handle pattern, the reason why it's really, really bullish is because first, the right side of the cup, the 2020 high is a little bit higher than the 2011 high. It's 2070 versus 1900 or 1920. So that's a sign of a stronger than normal pattern. And then secondly, gold has been able to hold above the 38% retracement, the handle correction or consolidation, going from the top 2070 down to 1040. 30% retracement, I believe, is 1670, 1675, something in there. And gold has held above that for the majority of this correction, minus a couple of days. So that's a sign of a lot of strength, the fact that the handle is corrected only 38%. So those two factors are why the larger cup and handle pattern is super bullish. It's more bullish than a normal textbook pattern. And the pattern is still a textbook pattern. So we look at that technically. We look at, as I was saying earlier, dollar screaming higher, real yields have been screaming higher. Gold's been holding up really well. I mean, a week or two ago, I think at one point it was only 4% off the high if you're looking at gold against foreign currencies. Gold's outperforming the S&P 500 now. It's above a rising, that ratio is above a rising 200-day moving average. So these things are all great. Now, obviously, they don't help us right now. They won't necessarily help us in the next month or two if gold sells off and the juniors get hit a lot more. But the big picture setup is really, really bullish. And if I'm right about the macro and the Fed is going to have to cut sooner than we all think, that's going to really unleash this market. And when that happens, like, this stuff will be, this correction will be completely in the past. It'll be way behind us. So I think we might have a tough month or two to get through here. You know, gold could go lower. It could test the 40 month, you know, maybe it could spike briefly to 1675, but you know, other than that, and other than the Fed getting off a couple more hikes, everything else is really, really bullish for gold. And so once we get past that, gold is going to set up for a huge move higher and a huge breakout.
All right, Jordan, we'll wrap it up here. I have to say, you seem to have a bit of a more optimistic, more bullish outlook for gold in the near term. I realize the next couple months might be slow as we wind through summer, but quite frankly, you have an outlook there that shows a bit more of a pop coming in that third rate hike or third meeting by the Fed. Who knows what they're going to do, but it will be interesting to see what we have to deal with at this meeting. Jordan, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again next week.